Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, reading the first 8 verses. Speaking of Jesus, "And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. And it says the man arose and departed to his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given power unto men." Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you. And I pray that this broadcast would be a blessing to someone. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm rather pressed for time. I'd like to get right to it. But this passage here, in chapter 8, we saw that Jesus came to this side of the Sea of Galilee. But it says that he got back in the boat and went back over to the other side and went back to his own city. And this man, sick of the palsy, it says he was lying on his bed, probably did that all day, probably couldn't walk or whatever. But he saw that they had brought this man to be healed. And instead of saying, be healed, or laying his hands on the man, or saying some word, he said, cheer up, man. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the scribes had a cow. How dare Jesus blaspheme God, it says, and claim that he has the power to forgive sins. But Jesus said, I could have said, rise up and walk. I've done it to all these other people. Take up your bed, rise up and walk. I could have done all kind of things. But I said, your sins are forgiven. Which was easier to say? Just a short sentence either way? But verse 6 says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said, arise, take up your bed, and go to your own house. And of course the man got up, healed, went home. But it says those standing by watching, they marveled and glorified God that had given such power unto men. He could have said, take up your bed and walk, but he said, your sins are forgiven. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to forgive sin, to deliver from sin. Isaiah 53, we can study it. I have studied it on this program. There's other verses I could quote, other passages we could study that talks about that Jesus Christ delivers from sin and from so much more. You know, the Old Testament, often we think of these passages in the Old Testament, for instance, Jonah or Daniel in the lion's den, we think of them as Sunday school Bible stories. And I'm glad that they teach these things in Sunday school, but it's story after story after story of deliverance, healing, relief, comfort, rescue, what have you. That's what the Bible is all about, telling what God can do for us. And obviously the Old Testament pointing to Christ, the Deliverer. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The gospel's good news, not bad news. The gospel is not a bunch of rules that the church lays down and says, "You must follow these rules." That's not it. And if that's what you've been taught wrong, or you missed it or something. Because this man, his sins were forgiven, and he was healed, and he rose up and walked on home. Praise God. Praise God. But you see, Jesus was demonstrating his deity. He could have said, like he had said all these other times before, "Hey man, get up, you're healed, walk on home." But he dared to say, "Your sins are forgiven." God is the one that forgives sins. God is the one that has the authority to forgive sins. And we, of course, know that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Again, it shows his deity and his divine authority to do and to say and to pronounce what God says. But moving on, in verse 9 through 13, it says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." This is Matthew, the guy that wrote the book that we're studying today. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. They didn't wait till the end of the year to send it in. They taxed every day. This man was hated by his fellow Jews. This man was working for Rome. He was viewed as a sellout. But he had heard the gospel. He believed the gospel. And that was fine. He could have believed and lived his whole life. But God said, "Follow me." And it says he arose and followed. You know, he put down his work. He just stopped and said, "Okay, somebody else take care. I'm going to follow Jesus." Just like Peter, James, John, Andrew, what have you, it says they left their nets in another place and followed Jesus Christ. That's what he calls us to do. Now, I have to make a living. You have to make a living. I wish I could be in full-time ministry, but that's a pipe dream, I guess. I have to be in full-time ministry and full-time job. And that's fine. I'm so grateful that I have an opportunity to do it. But he calls us to follow him. He calls us to live for him. He calls us to, with our lives, worship him and to glorify him. But it says they went to a party. This was Matthew's party, his going away party, if you would. He invited all of his friends, all of his publican friends, all of his family, all the guys from high school, what have you. "Hey, come to my party." And it says the Pharisees with their long hook noses, the religious crowd with the ruler and the bunch of rules, said, you got to follow this. You got to do it our way. The Pharisees saw it and they said, why is your master, Jesus, eating with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners? Now we know that Jesus hung around with sinners, prostitutes, what have you. He did. Because they saw in him the answer. And they followed him. And everybody knew what these people did before. They all knew that they were, at this point, ex-prostitutes, ex-tax collectors, ex-sinners. But that wasn't good enough for the Pharisees. They didn't rejoice that people were getting saved and putting down their old ways. Pharisees were only concerned about, hey, we get a bunch of rules, you got to follow. But Jesus said, those that are healthy or whole, they don't need a doctor. The people that go to doctors are the ones that are sick. You don't wake up one morning and say, man, I feel great. I think I'm going to go to the doctor. You only go when the aspirin and the Advil and the cough drops or whatever are not cutting it. And you've been in that bed a couple of days. You say, well, I guess I got to go in. The whole don't need a physician. The sick do. But he said, go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Forget your rules. Let's have mercy on these sinners, these prostitutes, these tax collectors, these thieves, whatever they happen to be. I'll have mercy, God says, and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come to congratulate the Pharisees with their big stack of rules. He didn't come to congratulate obedience to the law. Now, we should obey the word of God, I understand, but it was their extra laws. There were 613 laws in Leviticus and what have you. The Pharisees added another 600 and something and said, forget those, follow these. And we find evidence of that in various places in Scripture where they said, hey, how come you're not following our laws? And he said, well, forget your laws. They don't mean anything. And your laws, all your rules, your religious practices, they're keeping you from coming into heaven and being forgiven like these people and experiencing the joy of the Lord. But sometimes that's all people see of Christianity, is just a bunch of rules. I'm a Christian, been one 30 some odd years. I can't keep all the rules. A sinner says, well, there's no way I can keep those rules. There's no hope in a bunch of rules. There's no salvation in a bunch of rules. There's no deliverance in a bunch of rules. But there's deliverance and help in mercy. And that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And again, the Old Testament is fantastic. The Ten Commandments, the Levitical laws, they're great. The law is perfect, it says. But if you try and keep the law, or a church's man-made rules, it says the letter of the law kills. But God's Spirit and the true gospel of what Jesus did to deliver mankind, that gives life. Isaiah chapter 58, it's the chapter on fasting. He says in verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? But isn't this the fast that I've chosen in verse 6? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then he says in verse 8, Then shall thy light spring forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Praise God. Praise God. Now both of these two paragraphs that we've read are seen in Mark. Mark chapter 2, I won't read it again, but Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, it says he entered into Capernaum after some days, his hometown, and then it mentions the man being healed. When I first became a Christian, that first day that I got saved, I had a Bible, took it off the shelf, and began to read. I read Matthew in just a few days. Then I read Mark. And then, I don't know, a few weeks, however long it took, I got to Luke, and about halfway to Luke, I said, well, I've read all this before. And I kind of got bogged down. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels. The word synoptic, we have a familiar word, synopsis, an overview. Synoptic means the same view. And in fact, we find the same stories, the same events, told in the same order. Now, there's some variation, some things are left out of this and added in that, what have you. But it's the same story, the same view. We understand that the different Gospels have different points of view. Matthew shows Jesus as king, Mark as a servant. Luke is a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, empowered to do good works, what have you. And these paint a composite picture. We see Jesus come in the flesh. God come in the flesh. Emphasis on flesh. We understand that Jesus was 100% man, born of a virgin. While the book of John shows not the human side of Christ, but the divine. And I've explained that before. I'm sure you've heard me say that. But getting back to our chapter in Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 through 17, Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft or often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now this is a bit of imagery that we don't see today. We have cans. Maybe Mom or Grandma still uses an old mason jar. But we don't use wine bottles made out of the skins of animals. We just don't do that anymore. Maybe this imagery of the Jewish wedding ceremony, the bride chamber and what have you, maybe that's something that we really don't do anymore. But Jesus has a lesson for us, nevertheless. We understand John the Baptist. He's the one that preached at the River Jordan saying, "Repent, repent." And a number of people came out and did just that. He had to do so. He had to preach repentance before Jesus could come on the scene. And we know the story. Matthew chapter 3 would have you. We've studied that. But John's disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why do we fast? Why do the Pharisees fast? We go without food every Tuesday and Saturday or whatever the days were, or however many days it was. We're fasting all the time, going without food all the time. But Jesus, your disciples, they eat whatever they want, any day they want, no fasting." Then Jesus said, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" Jesus is the bridegroom. You see, Jesus is the answer. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. You can start in Genesis. You can start in Genesis chapter 1, really, and you can see the gospel portrayed. We understand chapter 3, verse 15 of that book tells of the seed of the woman. We understand he was born of a virgin. Moses prophesied that that prophet would come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And again, the Pharisees, they had a bunch of rules. John's disciples, they were trying to follow not the Pharisees' rules, but they tried to follow the Old Testament laws. Leviticus would have you. They tried the best they could to follow. But Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the laws and what have you in the Old Testament. And as long as Jesus was on the earth, his disciples didn't fast. But one day, he said, and that day came, that Jesus was crucified. We understand he rose again the third day. We understand he went back to heaven. We understand also that he's coming again. But he's not here today. And today we pray, asking for his presence. Today we fast, begging him for this or that that we need. When Jesus was here, anyone could come up and say, "Lord, my servant's sick, will you come and heal him?" And he would say, "Okay, let's do that." And the person would be healed. Today we have to pray. Today we have to seek his face. Today we have to fast and pray, perhaps. We don't get instant gratification anymore, because the bridegroom was taken away. He's in heaven now. But he said, "No man takes a piece of new cloth and puts it onto an old garment." Nowadays, it's popular. If you got a rip in your blue jeans, good. Maybe I can rip the other leg. But if you have a rip, and sometimes people still do this, they'll try to patch that. Instead of saying, "Well, I got to go spend $30 for another pair of blue jeans," they have to patch it. You need to get something that's washed and pre-shrunk. Because if you take new material and sew it into the old, and then the thing gets washed, the new patch shrinks, and then the rip gets worse. Then he says, "No man puts new wine into old bottles." There was a fermentation process that took place. There was a chemical reaction inside the wine bottle that was made of animal skins. You couldn't put new wine or fresh wine into an old used wineskin. It would break. If you wanted to keep the wine, you had to get a new bottle. Again, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the healer. Man, I could go on all day talking about him. And he gives us his Holy Spirit, that came down on the day of Pentecost. We can have the things that we need. We can have salvation. We can have deliverance. Drug addiction, that power can be broken. I know, because He did it for me. If your marriage is on the rocks, God can fix it. Name your problem. Jesus is the answer. And then there's the infilling of the Spirit of God, the wonderful presence of God that helps us to keep the law and be a law unto ourselves, Paul says. That helps us to live a more abundant life, Jesus said. You can't patch up old religion like the Pharisees had. Oh, they would have loved to have been able to heal the sick as Jesus did. But their old religion just wouldn't cut it. But forget the Pharisees. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Keeping the law. Paul said if you keep the whole thing and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. We needed Jesus Christ to keep it for us. He's our champion. And if you want abundant life, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you want joy unspeakable and full of glory, you have to be born again. It can't be religion. Religion just won't cut it. And again, Jesus Christ is the mediator of that new covenant. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.